بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. None of us remembers the day and the moment when we were born. There may be some pictures or videos taken very shortly thereafter, but none of us has a memory of what it was like when we were born in the first hours and days, weeks and months, perhaps even years of our young life. Well, one thing that we know is that we were in a very, very vulnerable state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had assigned someone to take care of us, to defend us and to protect us. And most chances are it was our parents, our mother, our father, or in some cases a grandparent or perhaps someone else. And these people who were assigned to protect us, who were assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hearts Allah azza wa jal put the love and concern for us, they protected us when we were going home from the hospital or from our place of birth, if it wasn't at home already, to protect us from the cold, if it was cold outside, to protect us from extreme heat and sunlight, to take care of us in illness and protect us from injuries as we started moving around, crawling towards the stairs and walking around in different areas outside. They protected us and took care of us and protected us also from predators. Just like we know that there are animals who go after other animals and especially their young ones. And the mother animal, whichever animal it may be, is usually very protective of her cubs, of her chicks. In the same way, they are human predators as well. And even nowadays, child is born, sometimes mothers more so, but perhaps fathers as well, are concerned that, you know, someone might come and take my child when the child is either in the nursery, at the hospital, right after birth, or is gone for a bath, and so on and so forth. So they protected us from all these various types of dangers. As we grow older, and as our children grow older, the concern remains the same, that we want to protect them from harm. Nobody wants their child to be hurt, to be harmed, to be taken advantage of. But the things that can be harmful or that can be risky, this is something that evolves. So the same types of concerns you may have had for your child when he or she was born are not exactly the same. I mean, the concerns are the same, but the things you're worried about are not exactly the same anymore. And one note here, when we talk about children, right, you may be thinking, well, you know, either my children are old now and they're married, or I don't have any children, or I'm not married. You know, whenever we talk about children, this is important for us it's always important to take an interest and take note of the affairs and matters that relate to our children, because our children are our future. They are, I know that sounds like a cliche, and it is perhaps, but our children are the future of our community. They are the future of our society. And if our children are being negatively impacted, and if our children are at risk, then this has a great potential to negatively impact their future, and as a consequence, affect negatively the future of our community and our societies as well. So regardless of our situation, with regards to having children or not having children or having grandchildren, we should all be concerned about matters that relate to our children. So what I was saying is that the concern is the same, but the things we're concerned about, they evolve and they change. So as a child starts going outside, starts going to school, we warn them about strangers. We warn them about talking to strangers. We warn them about getting in a car with a stranger. That if a person, especially a man, comes up to you and offers you candy in the playground or at the park, what are you supposed to do? If somebody says, come here, give me some directions, come, I'll give you a ride home, and you don't know them. We teach our kids what to do in these types of situations. Then we get concerned about their friends, because we know that friends have a great influence on us. Our company, generally, the people we hang around with have a great influence. So we are concerned about their friends. Then our kid comes up to us and says, Mom, Dad, Baba, Mama, whatever, you know, can I go for a sleepover? And then that becomes an issue the first time the question is asked. Should I let him go? Should I let her go? Should I not let them go? What's the, you know, what's the family like? What is the sleepover about? Then trips. Field trips we're okay with. Then there's an overnight trip, and then we start thinking about that as well. Is that something we want our child? Are we comfortable having our child staying overnight somewhere else, far away from us? Then staying out, going out with friends, staying out late, the types of TV shows they watch, the types of movies they watch. And then as they grow older, we get more concerned about, you know, even more serious things, like drugs and so on and so forth. And we are concerned about these things because we know that they have the potential to have multiple negative impacts on our children. So physically, they could be damaging. Morally, they could be damaging. Psychologically, they could be damaging. And it could lead our child towards a life of trouble and a life of pain and difficulty. So that's why we're concerned about these things. And when we examine the examples of the Prophet ﷺ, we also find that they too were concerned about their children. We have the story, or you know, their parents were concerned about them. We have the story of Musa alayhi salam. Now we know that Fir'aun was killing the sons, the baby boys of the Bani Israel. And the mother of Musa alayhi salam was concerned about the welfare of her son. She did not want her son to be killed like all the other boys. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her. She got the idea, the thought, that I'll put my baby in a chest and let him float in the water. Yaqub alayhi salam was concerned about his son, Yusuf alayhi salam. And his concern had to do with his other children, his other sons, and what they would do to Yusuf alayhi salam. And he was concerned about him as well. And we know the story, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. And then Yusuf alayhi salam had a brother who his father was also concerned about, by the name of Binyamin. We find the story of Nuh alayhi salam, who was concerned when he knew the punishment was coming, and the flood was coming. He did not want his son to drown. And his son thought that he could take care of himself. He didn't want to listen to his father. But the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was concerned deep inside for the welfare of his son. So they all had concern for the well-being of their children like any parent. But what we find is there was a particular concern, a specific concern that the Prophet ﷺ had for their children. And this was concern for their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because normally, when a person is leaving the world, is at the end of their life, and they have a few precious moments to speak with their loved ones and with their children, you would expect that they would talk about the things which matter most. Take care of your mother, take care of the family, divide up the business, be fair with your, you know, siblings, and so on and so forth. We learn in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he enjoined upon his sons submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya baniya inna Allah asdafa lakum ad-deen fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. saying, O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion, then die not accepting the faith of Islam. So this was what was of greatest concern to pass on to their children, that do not waver away from submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is it that you were present when death approached Ya'qub alayhi salam, when he said to his sons, what did he say? What will you worship after me? This was his concern. Here it is clear in this verse that death approached Ya'qub alayhi salam, and what was his concern? Asking his children, what are you going to worship? What will you worship after me? And they knew the answer. So they said, we will worship your God. قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ أَبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا. The one God, the one Lord, who is the Lord of your fathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq. And to him we submit ourselves. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Okay. We also read the story of Luqman, the wise. عليه السلام. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. And Luqman said to his son by way of instruction, O my son, join not in worship others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't join anyone else with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Beware of doing shirk. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Because verily, doing this, ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, false worship is indeed the highest form of wrongdoing. The dhulmun azim. And if we talk about wrongdoing and injustice, that is at the peak, at its highest level. And similarly, we find that the other way around as well, Ibrahim alayhi salam is concerned for his father. Right? So, the concern that we have for those that we love, you know, of course, naturally, we want what is best for them. And from this, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, they did not want their children, and they were concerned about their children disobeying or rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not want them to do that, because that undoubtedly leads to harm. That undoubtedly leads to harm in one form or the other, and we know that very, very well. So they wanted them to have a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us as well, we are concerned about many things with regards to you know, we have many concerns with regards to our children. But our utmost concern should be their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what connection, what type of connection they are building with Allah. Or are they building it, or is it a connection that is going away? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. That all you have believed, protect yourselves. So ourselves first. Protect yourselves. وَأَهْلِيكُمْ, and your families, your loved ones, your households, from a fire whose fuel is people and stones. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Protect yourselves and your loved ones, your household, your family members, from a fire whose fuel is people and stones. In this world, we know that we want to protect our families, in particular our children, from fire. Right? We have fire safety plans you should talk about in your home. The experts tell us, firefighters will tell you, you should have a plan for evacuation. Your children should know what to do in case of fire. Perhaps have a fire extinguisher. You know, have these things thought through so that, عياذ بالله, God forbid, if some time there is a fire in the house, everyone in the family knows what to do. So we try to protect ourselves and our family members from fire in this world. In the same way, we need to be worried about guiding them away from that which leads to punishment in the hereafter. Guiding them away, protecting them, helping them stay away from that which leads to the punishment in the hereafter. And of course, these are things that can lead to sins, that can lead to the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I mentioned some of them before, the concerns we have for our children, like going out late, right? And friends, and the types of things that our children watch. So the reasons are now compounded. A Muslim parent will be concerned about his or her child because of their, you know, the physical harm that they could that could be done to them, the moral harm, the psychological harm, the harm in their life, but also spiritual harm as well. And for the Muslim parent, the spiritual harm will be the primary concern. So when you think of something that is your child is starting to do, or is your child is exposed to, the first concern for the believing parent, for the Muslim parent, is what effect is this going to have on my child's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with, of course, the physical concerns and other concerns as well. So now when we think about friends, right, we're looking at it from the spiritual lens. What sort of spiritual effect are my child's friends are going to have on him or her? What type of habits is he or she going to pick up? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, that al-mar'u ala dini khalili, that a person, a man is on the faith of his friends. Right? So our friends have great influence upon us, and we pick up habits, and we pick up mannerisms, and get ideas from our friends. So we need to be concerned about the friends. What kind of habits are they going to be bringing, picking up from them? Are they going to, you know, are they involved, as kids get older, are they involved in drugs and crime, or, you know, in vanity and superficiality, sleepovers, going out, you know, late at night, TV shows, movies, drugs, all of these things. So now there's another element of concern for the believing parent, which is the spiritual effect of all of these things. And these are all real life concerns, and they're not new. They've been around for some time, right? So we went through it as children, perhaps a generation before us. You know, their parents, our grandparents had the same types of concerns as well. But now there is a new dimension. There is a new dimension to these concerns that did not exist when I was a child. It did not exist when you were a child. It did not exist when your parents were young. And this is the virtual world. This new dimension is that of the virtual world. The concerns are the same. There are physical dangers, there's moral dangers, there's psychological dangers, and there's spiritual dangers as well. But now it's in a different realm, it's in the virtual world. Okay, so friends are once again a concern. They may be virtual friends, they may be Facebook friends, they may be people who are, you know, being interacted with on Twitter or on other, you know, forms of social media. But those, the same concerns also exist here. And in the virtual world, online, you will find bullies. You will find predators. You will find criminals. You will find crooks and immoral and unethical people. And not just people, but corporations who are all taking advantage of the cloak of anonymity, who will prey on innocent children and use them for their own gain and for their own benefit. And this is a reality that of course exists, and we are well familiar with this reality. Images, videos, and websites. And you know, we normally talk about the haram that is projected as haram online. When we talk about online dangers, that's normally what we're talking about, okay? So you know that there's things that are haram, and they are projected, and you know, they are, the appeal is made to a person's desires, and we know that this is all operating in the area of haram. But now there's another form of haram you have to worry about online. And that is the haram that disguises itself as fard. The haram that disguises itself as fard. Okay? And this is these are the messages that people are picking up online. And don't think that our young kids in our community are immune from this. Unfortunately, they're not. Okay? And they're viewing videos, chatting with people online, who are telling them that they must do things which are haram, and telling them that they have to do it because it's fard. For example, you should steal from your parents so that you can buy a ticket to leave Canada and go live under Islamic rule. It's mind-boggling. This is something which is haram. Okay? Young girls, you must run away from home, pack your bags, and go live under Islamic rule. This is haram. But they're being told that they have to do this because this is fard upon them. Okay, so this is another area now of concern or of worry for parents, in particular Muslim parents. So not only are we worrying about the haram as haram, but now we're also worrying about the haram as fard, unfortunately. Okay? And this is, I'm mentioning this because this is not something which, as I mentioned, is foreign to our communities. And this is something that we must be very vigilant about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our children. 93% of children are online. 93% of children have online access or on the internet. This is according to commonsensemedia.org. Okay. If you have children in your household who are on the internet without any controls, then it's basically as if like you are letting your child roam outside unsupervised. That's what it's like. Okay? So if children are on the internet unsupervised, it's as if they are outside, away from home, without you knowing where they are, roaming outside, visiting adult book and video stores, visiting the red light district, talking to criminal recruiters, being at risk of being attacked by perverts and strangers, and becoming victims to human trafficking and drug dealers and so on and so on. Okay, so having children on the internet without any controls is just like you let your child out of the house and leave them free to roam and to talk to all of these people and leave them at risk of being attacked by all of these risks. Okay, would any parent do that? Would any parent let their child out the door and say, okay, do whatever you want, go wherever you want, explore whatever you want, visit whoever you want, talk to whoever you want, go with whatever you want? No, no parent would do that in real life. Okay, so we need some measures in place. And there's different stages. Okay, so the first stage is when the child is young. Okay, so let's say before high school. Okay, child is young. And this is when access needs to be controlled. Okay, and this is the time when you can actually exert the most control, because you have, the cards are in your hand, right? The ball is in your court. You actually have greater authority at that point. Okay, the type of devices we give to our children. Okay, they can access internet very easily from their iPod. Okay, kids know how to do that. They're not just listening to Quran or music. Okay, they are going online. Okay, giving data plans to young children. Okay, they're going to have, open access to the internet at school, when they're coming back from school, when they're out and about with their friends. Things to think about. Wi-Fi doesn't need to be on all the time at home. And some experts actually suggest having a Wi-Fi off time, so everyone knows that at 9 o'clock the Wi-Fi is going to go off. Whatever homework or work you need to do, it needs to be done by 9 o'clock, and then there's no more internet. Okay. Another suggestion is to have children check in their devices for the night with their parents. So all devices have to be turned into parents for charging, for maintenance, for whatever. Okay, so they have to be given in at night. No internet use upstairs in your own room. Okay, any internet access, any use of the internet should be done in an open area. Email. Okay, once your child has an email account, they can very easily then open up any social media account and access various apps and so on and so forth. Okay, so email should always, for young children, if they're going to have email, you should definitely have open access. So make sure they don't have a password that you don't know. And they should know that you can drop in, and you are going to drop in and check on emails. And no password changes allowed. Password is changed, that's immediate confiscation of the device. Try to limit social media access. So you want to talk about it first. You want to coach your child. Just like, you don't give the car keys to the child and say, okay, go outside and drive the car, right? You can make sure that they learn how to drive. Similarly, they need to know how to use social media properly. Privacy is a very big deal for teens, okay? But especially when children are young, privacy is a privilege, it's not a right. Privacy is a privilege, it's not a right. So if a child is able to show increased responsibility and show that they're trustworthy, then you can increase their level of privacy. But otherwise, children should know that privacy is a privilege when they're young. It is not a right. Filters can, of course, be very good to have as well. Perhaps installed on each device, or use the timers and filters available in the operating system, and especially for children when they're very young. You know, we let children on the internet go on YouTube and play games and do other things, but sometimes, you know, even innocent terms, and this is what I was talking about, corporations and people who prey on children, so they'll actually target their filth to children who are searching for innocent terms, because they know the younger they can reel them in, the longer they're going to be their customers. And in fact, studies show, there's a University of Alberta study that shows that the greatest amount of exposure to inappropriate material on the internet is for boys between the ages of 12 and 18. Okay, so basically teenage boys are the biggest consumers, unfortunately, of inappropriate material. So this is something to take note of. As children get older, then you want to plan for gradual easing, right, of those restrictions, because that can backfire as well. Okay, as I mentioned, you want to coach for appropriate social media use and be open to negotiation and flexibility. And most importantly, open communication about these rules. So the reasons why you're implementing these rules, what are your concerns, and stories about people who have gotten into trouble through the internet. And explaining this in a compassionate way, in a caring way, not in a way that, you know, shows that you're just trying to control everything. So children need to know that, why are you doing this? But you're doing this because you're concerned about them, and you're doing it out of compassion and not out of control, or not out of anger or just trying to dominate them with control. For everyone, it might be a good idea to have filters through your ISP. So there's actually a Muslim ISP as well who filters content before it even gets to your home. You can set it up on your router. I mean, most of you are tech people, so you know all this better than I do. You could have DNS service as well, through which all of your traffic could be routed through, which can actually be filtering a lot of the inappropriate material as well. What we need to realize, though, is that we can't block out everything completely. Okay, we can't completely shelter our children from what's bad and from harmful material. Okay, we can't control them forever. They are going to grow up, they are going to move away from home, they are going to go to school, they are going to be exposed to various things. Okay, so what we need to do is build in them the ability to recognize danger and to make the right choices in real life and in online as well. Okay, and there's a few keys to making that happen. So number one, I mentioned this before as well, having a strong relationship with your child. So it's not just always about disciplining, but discussing, explaining, enjoying, nurturing, allowing questions, and allowing them to learn from their mistakes as well. And if they do something bad and you come across it, don't freak out. Right? Don't panic. Like, it's the end of the world. Take it easy, keep your composure, and deal with it tactfully, inshallah. Secondly, talk about these important topics, right? So dangers, and discuss the consequences, and allow them to develop critical thinking, especially about material they're going to come across on the internet. Because some of the stuff they're going to come across is going to challenge your beliefs. It's going to challenge your views. It's going to challenge what you're trying to teach your child. Okay, so develop critical thinking so that they're able to process what they read and what they come across online. And perhaps most importantly, instill taqwa, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and haya, modesty, level of appropriateness inside the child. And this all starts from an early age. Build habits before they're actually required, before the time comes. The Prophet ﷺ emphasized, you know, salah at the age of 7, it's not mandatory at that time, but to build good habits. Fasting, we learned that children would cry in fasting, they were so young, they would be fasting, and they would not be required, but still they would be made to practice and to get used to it. You know, manners, eating, young children, you know, eating with hands all over the dish, the Prophet ﷺ offered guidance towards that. Don't put your hand all over the dish. Eat from what is closest to you. Right? Hassan radiallahu anhu, crawling around, a baby who's crawling, about to pick up a date from sadaqah, which was haram for the household of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ stopped him from doing so, even though he was a young child, he was a young baby. Okay, so start early. Role models are very, very important. So children need to know who to look up to follow. Having a healthy social circle and a healthy environment, connecting with people of knowledge, of Islamic knowledge and taqwa and practice, who our children can look up to and can relate to, and finally keeping them busy in positive activities and actions from a young age. Keep them busy, keep them occupied. An empty mind is devil's workshop. Okay? So stay away from an empty mind for our children and for ourselves as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. We should always make dua after we make our efforts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, He's the one who guides and protects. We try our best. Leave for Allah the rest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children and protect them and guide them away from everything that is harmful to them. Inshallah, tonight we will be having a health curriculum info session. So this is regarding the new Ontario health curriculum. Of course, we've talked about it before and you've probably heard a lot about it as well. So inshallah, we are having that here, 7 p.m. in the Minto room across from the hall. And the